Welcome back to The Faith of the Fathers. I'm your host, Carl Gessler, here to reignite the faith of the fathers. Merry Christmas to you. If you hear a humming in the background today, it's because I'm leaving my heater on, for it is the beginning of a very frigid Christmas weekend. Today, I wanted to share with you three shocking truths about the original Saint Nick. And if you didn't know that Saint Nick was actually a real person, then maybe that's four shocking truths. Because truth number one is Saint Nicholas was a real person. And I wanted to share with you today some things that you may not know about him. The first one maybe is not so shocking, which is that St. Nicholas was a very wealthy, he grew up in a wealthy family, but he wanted to live his life completely for the Lord. And so he basically renounced his wealth and gave it away. But the story is that there are these three girls who were... their father was having financial problems and couldn't secure a good husband for them, through a dowry. And so they would end up on the streets, possibly in prostitution or some horrible thing like that. Honestly, I can't say that I can explain that to you, only that somehow that's how their system worked or didn't work back at those times. But anyway, St. Nicholas heard about their plight. And so he snuck by their house at night and threw a bag of gold in through the window. And legend has it that it landed in stockings that were draped on the end of the bed. And that's where the gold coin was found. And so I don't know about you, but I grew up with stockings and we always got chocolate golden coins in our stockings. But in truth, I did not know that that was where that tradition came from until a couple of years ago. But that's pretty cool. The second tradition fact about Saint Nick that you may not know is that he was arrested under Diocletian. I think that's how, Diocletian in the Roman Empire, because Christians were seen as a threat to the Roman Empire at that time. And so he was put in prison where he was held for a long time, including torture. I mean, prison itself, especially in most places in the world, is torture in itself, just because of the conditions that you're in. Being held in a basement, a crypt, for years on end is torture. But he endured torture and would not deny his faith. He was eventually released when Constantine came to power. But after Constantine came to power, he again had trouble because there was a man named Arius who was running around the empire, making up songs about Jesus, teaching people about Jesus through music, and they were singing it, but the songs that he was writing were heretical. They were denying the deity of Jesus. And St. Nicholas, who was a bishop in the church at this time, confronted Arius, and they had a debate, and in the debate, Arius sang one of his songs, and it provoked St. Nicholas so much that he slapped him across the face, which then got him defrocked. So he was no longer allowed to be a bishop and was told he could no longer preach. But the good news is that nobody needs to give you authority to preach. No, you don't get your authority from another man. Jesus commissions you to preach, so you can always do that. St. Nicholas continued to do his ministry, though in a non-official capacity. So, not much has changed in human nature or in what it means to walk out our faith since the time of St. Nicholas. People today, you know, in the story of him and Arius, you know, I kind of like the fact that St. Nicholas slapped the guy across the face just because I like that fire. I'm not saying it was the right thing to do, but I'm also not saying it's the wrong thing to do. I wasn't there and I don't really know. But I think it's typical of human nature that Arius was the real problem. Arius was the one that was leading multitudes of people astray and telling lies, which is the real damaging thing. Nicholas may have lost his temper in a moment of righteous indignation, spilling into the flesh, acting out in anger. But the person who should have been defrocked was Arius. Of course, I don't know that he was that he had an official role in the church or not. I honestly don't know that. But he was the one that should have been disciplined. But That's not the way it usually goes. Pastor Greg Locke recently made a statement saying that following God completely is one of the loneliest decisions that you'll ever make. And while we can be and should be careful with a statement like that because we can easily become self-righteous where we think, I'm the only one doing it right, it is completely true in that you will feel at times like you are alone. I do know what that feels like. Thankfully, my wife and I are on the same page. Not that we don't ever have disagreements or have to work things out, but we are committed to the Lord together, and that is a huge blessing. I'm also blessed to live in a great, a fabulous community of Christians who are devoted to Jesus and to each other, so I'm richly blessed there. But I still know what it's like to feel like I'm alone in this conviction. I'm alone in this stand. And if God isn't with me, I would not be making this stand. And we should know that standing for the truth is sometimes, there are valleys and seasons where that is incredibly lonely. And St. Nicholas knew that, tasted it, discovered it. So the persecution, Jake Lang is one of the many J6 political prisoners that the FBI has been holding in prison for around 2 years now without even a trial. The incredible injustice, and what was his crime? He stood for the truth. The crime that St. Nicholas paid for was simply loving people, loving Jesus, and not denying his faith. He wouldn't worship the emperor, as the Roman Empire often required that you do. Nothing has changed. We still, there are people in prison today, and Hebrews 13:3 says, to remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who suffer in the flesh, because you also are in the body. So as you gather around with your family to celebrate Christmas, however you do that this year, let us remember to pray for, send letters, send gifts to our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted throughout the world, whether they are J6 political prisoners who stood for the truth, or whether they are missionaries in North Korea, Christians in China. There are our brothers and sisters suffer because of their loyalty to Jesus, and we should remember them at Christmas. So there you have it, St. Nicholas. The stockings came directly from the real St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas punched someone in the face, slapped them in the face, however you interpret a slap or a punch. And he spent a lot of time in prison suffering for the gospel. So you may not have known that if all you knew about Santa Claus came from Tim Allen. And hopefully you know a little bit more now, and I trust that this will strengthen your Christmas tradition. You know, all of our Christian, our Christmas traditions ought to be kingdom-oriented. So much about Christmas is materialistic, which it ought not to be. But I love the gifts, and I'm all for the gifts, and all the traditions around it, the food. There's so much luxury, so much, just a lot of pleasure and fun around Christmas. But all of those things can become very empty if they truly are about materialism. When people have to have the perfect gift to have the perfect Christmas, it's absolute nonsense. The only way that and it's gross, truly. The only way that the materialism plays an important role in Christmas, I think, is when the gifts that are given are truly given in an act of service, sacrificial generosity, and love. We can give selfishly, and we can give sacrificially. And Christmas isn't Christmas if we are giving selfishly. And what do I mean by that? Well, when I first became a father, one of the things that I realized, to my surprise, is that I needed to give gifts to my kids as much as they wanted to receive gifts from me, maybe even more so. And I found this is true because I know lots of people who don't have kids that want to give our kids gifts. And one of the things we've had to do over the years is to figure out how to get rid of all the plastic that people give us because, honestly, sometimes, and I don't want anyone to feel offended if they've ever given us a gift. I'm not targeting anyone in particular, but I'll just say there are times when we're given toys that are really pieces of garbage. They're just cheap, made in China crap that someone that look exciting. Someone wanted to buy it to give to a kid so that they could see the look of excitement on the kid's face when they give them the present. Also so that they could feel good about themselves that they gave somebody something at Christmas. You know, I'm just using that as an example to say sometimes we give selfishly. That gift giving in a circumstance like that is actually more about the giver being satisfied than the person receiving the gift. It's not given in love, in pure love. Now, I'm guilty. I am the greatest sinner of them all when it comes to this kind of thing. We have a stereo in the house that I one time gave to my wife for her birthday. And in truth, I was the one who wanted it. And even as I say that now, like there's a twinge of shame in me, like that's really gross. And in truth, I didn't know I was that selfish because I just hadn't admitted it to myself until then. And I think that was a turning point for me of learning. I need to learn how to give gifts in love, which sometimes means buying things. It's not about the price tag. Sometimes we buy things for the price tag in order to, it's kind of like doing good works to earn favor with God. We want to prove that we're generous, and so we buy something really expensive. But really, the gift of love might be something that doesn't cost as much. It's just thoughtful. It's you thought about the person and you gave as an act of love because you it was really more like a generosity of the mind. You took time to think about somebody, to think about what they like, to think about what gives them joy, and you went out, took the time to find the specific thing that you thought would give would speak love to them. That's been a kind of a change in trajectory for me in learning to celebrate Christmas truly in a kingdom-minded way. And, you know, Christmas is an amazing time of year for us to build the kingdom. You know, like I said, I love the gifts and we celebrate the gifts, but to truly do it in the spirit of St. Nicholas, and even much more importantly, in the spirit of Jesus, we are in a time where we can preach the gospel through generous acts of love and also through the hymns, the Christmas hymns, O Holy Night, O Come All You Faithful. There are some amazing Christmas hymns, Joy to the World. And we ought to take advantage of that. This is a time, in this time of crisis in our nation, in this time of corruption, that Christians' light should shine brighter, and we ought to seize the day with Christmas to do that. I think we do that by truly making our Christmas traditions about serving one another from a position of as an act of love, and surrendering all the selfish, materialistic mentalities that our culture has conditioned us to receive, and we in our fallen nature have readily accepted. All right, I hope this encouraged you. I hope it enriches your Christmas Eve, Christmas traditions, and I look forward to being with you again soon. I've got a lot to share. There are a lot of demons to be cast out, and we are doing it. And we're also going to take you with us on an epic journey that we're going to go on for New Year's Eve to learn more about the power that Jesus gave us to cast out demons. All right, see you guys soon. God bless. Merry Christmas.